This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem amma ba'd. So yesterday, we discussed how the floods commenced in the time of Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam. Hatta idha ja'a amruna wa farat an-nur. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that water started to gush from the oven. And we explained that what had happened in reality was that the water started to come from every direction. And in those days they used to have ovens in the ground in which they used to cook and bake the food. So the water had totally overwhelmed the entire ground and it was gushing forth even from the ovens. And Nuh alayhi salam was told to take one pair of male and female from every creation of Allah onto the ship so that that lineage could continue after the floods and after the deluge. Then we spoke yesterday also about Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam's conversation with his son. What was the son's name? Some say it was Yam, others say it was Kinan. Wanada Nuhu Nibna Wakana fi ma'zil Ya Bunayyar kam ma'ana wala takum ma'al kafirin. He said, "Oh my son, get onto the ship." But the son was, you know, he thought he was clever. So he said, "Sa'awi ila jabali ya'simuni min al-ma." I'll go to the top of the mountain and there the water won't reach me. وَحَالَ بَيْنَهُمَ الْمَوْجِ. And then one massive wave came between father and son. فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُغْرَقِينَ. And Nuh alayhi salam's son then drowned. We also explained yesterday that Nuh alayhi salam that made dua to Allah. وَنَادَى نُوحُ الرَّبَّ فَقَالَ رَبِّ إِنَّ بَنِي مِنْ أَهْلِي وَإِنَّ وَعْدَكَ الْحَقُّ وَأَنْتَ أَحْكَمُ الْحَاكِمِينَ. Because Allah had said that He would save the family of Nuh alayhi salam. So Nuh alayhi salam said, "Oh Allah, this is my son, he's from my family." But Allah then reminded Nuh alayhi salam that he was not a believer. Ya Nuh, innahu laysa min ahlik. And then Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam put forward an excuse before Allah that, "Oh Allah, I won't ask you any longer with regards to my son." And we concluded yesterday by saying, then Allah issued the instruction that وَقِيلَ يَا أَرْضُ بْلَعِي مَاءَكِ وَيَا سَمَاءُ أَقْلِعِي وَغِيضَ الْمَاءُ وَقُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ وَاسْتَوَتْ عَلَى الْجُودِي. So the rains from the heavens were told to stop, the water gushing from the ground was told to stop, and then eventually the ship came to rest on the Mount of Judi. And the Mount of Judi is between Euphrates and Tigris. Now, taking the discussion further, there is an interesting topic amongst the historians, amongst the scholars, that this floods of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, did it engulf the entire planet, or did it take place only in a particular area? And these two viewpoints, and both those who have the differing viewpoints come forward with different proofs and evidences, but the majority of the scholars say it was not a flood that engulfed the entire planet. It was a flood that engulfed that particular area, which previously used to be known as Mesopotamia. And Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam and his people lived in that area. And at that time, almost all of civilization were in that area. Because remember, Nuh alayhi salam came after Adam alayhi salam. So it was still the beginning stages of the human race. They were not humans all over the planet as we have today. So there wasn't really a need for the floods to have enveloped and engulfed the entire planet. So that's the one point of interest. The other is that it is almost as if humanity started again. Because everyone had been destroyed except those who were on the ship with Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. So from the animals and from the animal kingdom, as I said, they took a male and female, you know, from every pair, and amongst the humans, whoever had believed in Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. So it's almost like Nuh alayhi salam is the second father of humanity. Because every human that came thereafter, his lineage would have to go up to Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. And that's why Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam is referred to as the second Adam. The second Adam, and some refer to him as the first messenger on earth. Because it's like humanity started over after the floods of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. I don't want to go too much into the science of it because, you see, there's one important principle we need to learn. The Quran does not go into too much of detail. Because from Allah's perspective, it's not important where exactly it took place, what was the nature of the floods. The core message is important. That these people disobeyed Allah and the punishment of Allah came in this particular form. That here was a son of a Nabi. But even though he was a son of a Nabi, when he did not obey the command of Allah, when he did not believe in Allah, it could not save him. His own father being a Nabi could not save him. لَا عَصِمَ الْيَوْمَ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمْ. You see, there's no guarantee that if you are a Muslim, your child will be a Muslim. If you are pious, that your child will be pious. يُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَمُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتَ مِنَ الْحَيِّ. Allah takes that which is alive from that which is dead, and Allah takes that which is dead from that which is alive. The various interpretations. The chicken comes from the egg, and the egg comes from the chicken. Or a Muslim is born from a non-Muslim. A non-Muslim is born from a Muslim. Ibrahim alayhi salam was born from Azar. Azar was an idol worshipper. And here you have Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam's son, who is an idol worshipper, refusing to believe in the oneness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So the Quran mentions the story from the perspective of highlighting and driving home the key lessons. The Quran doesn't go into too much of detail. Now, historians have written, it could be correct, it could be incorrect. So sometimes we share, sometimes it looks a bit fairy tale like, and then you leave it out. But I was reading the other day, they say that, you know, some of these people, what you call them, those who excavate, and the archaeologists in that Mesopotamia area, when they dig the ground after a few levels, they actually come across a level of soil which highlights that there was a huge flood that took place at that particular area sometime in the past. And the scientific detail as to why they specifically refer to it or reference it to the floods of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. If this is true for us as Muslims, it's no surprise, because Allah has already said that it's true. I was saying today in the Jummah talk as well, you know, sometimes you can discuss the whole story of Yusuf alayhi salam, and the only question people have after that is, okay, so did Yusuf marry Zulaikha? You see, we like stories when we talk about Mi'raj. Oh, what was the color of the Burak? And how long was the tail? And what was the speed of the Burak? Those details may be interesting, but they're inconsequential. The reason is we grew up watching too many movies and reading too many novels. That's why when we listen to the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, the key elements are what? Jealousy, right? The jealousy of the brothers, the patience of Yusuf alayhi salam, the forgiveness of Yusuf alayhi salam. All that we're not interested in. We want to know, did Yusuf marry Zulaikha? Because we want to like now look for an Islamic version of Romeo and Juliet. That all's well that ends well. And they lived happily ever after. Some say they did, some say they didn't. Allah knows best. Allah did not mention it in the Quran. And there are contradicting narrations in the narrative of the historians. But that is inconsequential, whether they married each other at the end or not, and whether Zulaikha made Tawbah and became a proper Muslim or not. So even with the Burak, what was the size of the tail of the Burak, and what was the color of the Burak, and what was the exact speed of the Burak, is neither here nor there. The lesson is what happened on the occasion of Mi'raj. So where exactly this flood took place, some have written it covered an area of 140,000 square kilometers. But let's focus on the key lessons. The key lessons that Iman is a gift from Allah. How much Nuh alayhi salam would have wished for his son to be a Muslim? How much Ibrahim alayhi salam would have wished for his father to be a Muslim? How much Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would have wished for his uncle to be a Muslim? Yet Allah had not decreed for them to get Iman. You and I, on the southernmost tip of Africa, coming from ancestors who were idol worshippers in India, our ancestors were Hindus until the Sahaba brought Islam to the subcontinent. Yet Allah has privileged us and Allah has blessed us with Iman. And these are the sons of Anbiya, the fathers of Anbiya, they were not blessed with Iman. These are the lessons that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is highlighting. There's also some difference of opinion amongst the scholars with regards to the wife of Nuh alayhi salam. Was she a Muslim? Wasn't she a Muslim? There are instances where even the wife of a Nabi was not a believer. It's very clear and categoric with regards to Lut alayhi salam, because then the Quran, Allah mentions, illam ra'ata, except his wife. She was the one who got punished because she refused to believe in Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. So these days, if your wife doesn't believe in your greatness, don't take it too personally. Don't take it too personally, because they were Anbiya and their wives didn't believe in their genuineness. So if you think you're a cool dude and your wife thinks otherwise, tough luck. Take it on the chin and continue with life. You know, something you can just stomach and move on. Anyway, so there's difference of opinion. Some scholars say that Nuh alayhi salam's wife had passed away before the floods. Others say she was also destroyed in the floods because she was an unbeliever. And some say no, she was a believer and she was on the ship. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma, Ra'isul Mufassireen, he says that after the floods, Nuh alayhi salam lived for another 350 years. And humanity started over. According to Ibn Jarir, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam is buried in the Haram in Makkatul Mukarramah. And the people of Nuh alayhi salam, interestingly, just to wrap up the discussion on Nuh ala Nabiyyina alayhi salatu wasalam, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will ask Nuh alayhi salam that, oh Nuh, did you preach to the people? Did you tell them that believe in only one Allah? And Nuh alayhi salam will say, yes. And Allah will ask those people who did not believe in him, that did your Nabi convey the message to you? But out of the fright for the horrors and the torments of the hellfire, they'll say no. They lie, even in front of Allah. Now Allah is Rabbul Alameen, Allah is Alimul Ghaybi wa Shahada, Allah knows everything. But even though Allah knows everything, Allah puts in place a system so that it can be proven whether a person was correct or not correct. This is a key point. You know, sometimes we think, well, this is my kid. Why must I worry about whether I can prove something or not? It's always important to have a system, you know, due process. Even though you may be confident about something, this is what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is highlighting. Do not be unilateral. Have a system. So Allah will have a system. Allah will say, okay, oh no, who's going to testify on your behalf? Who's going to testify on your behalf that you conveyed the message? And who will testify? It will be none other than the Ummah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now the question could be asked, that what does this Ummah have to do with the Ummah of Nuh alayhi salam? We were not even born at that particular time. We were not on the planet of Earth at that time. But the reason we will testify is because we have read in the Quran, wherein we believe and wherein there is no doubt. And Allah has informed us via our Nabi, لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ فَقَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرُهُ قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ لَيْسَ بِي ضَلَالَةٌ أُبَلِّغُكُمْ رِسَالَاتِ رَبِّي. Allah told us in the Quran that Nuh alayhi salam conveyed the message repeatedly and his people belied him consistently. So the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will stand up on the day of Qiyamah and give testimony on behalf of Nuh alayhi salam. And according to other narrations, not only for Nuh alayhi salatu wa sallam, but for many different Anbiya alayhim wa salatu wa salam, the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will bear testimony. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. This Ummah is an Ummah of moderation, it's an Ummah of balance. And part of that balance would dictate that we know what truly happened because Allah informed us, and we will testify accordingly on the day of Qiyamah. That brings us to the end of the discussion on the life of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. Inshallah, tomorrow, if Allah has willed, we will commence with a discussion on the life of Idris alayhi salatu wasalam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.